Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'm reflecting on some words of Jesus, some pretty scary words from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. When I think about climate change, I feel pretty sick. We are facing the catastrophic collapse of vast ecosystems on which our lives depend. And countless other species are hurtling towards extinction. Out-of-control wildfires dot the globe, and terrifying hurricanes and storm surges are wreaking havoc, and formerly arable land has been turned into desert. And all around us, governments and disaster capitalists and environmental hoodlums keep chopping down trees and mining the land and industrializing agriculture and pumping carbon dioxide into the air. They will not change, and there seems to be nothing I can do. In despair, I keep living as I have always done. We live in a city of sprawling suburbs where people drive around all day and then sit at home at night, streaming shows powered by dirty electricity. And I join in. I drive when I could walk or ride, watch online movies, buy food from far away, and bring home mountains of plastic packaging. And in the evenings, I distract myself. Rather than reflect on our impending doom, I pour a glass of wine and watch something. But every now and then, I wake in the middle of the night, frozen with fear for my children and my children's children and the world which they will inherit. And so I'm doing exactly what Jesus said people would do. In the passage we heard tonight, he was more directly referring to the impending destruction of Jerusalem, which happened about 35 years after his death in 70 CE. But his words continue to resonate. For he said that when people are overwhelmed by rising floodwaters and raging storms, warming oceans, plastic seas, the sixth great extinction, or in his words, distress among the nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves, well, then people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. People will feel helpless. They'll wake in the night feeling sick to the stomach. And if they succumb to despair, they will do nothing. But his next words make it clear that distraction and despair are not options for his followers. Be on guard, he says, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. Don't distract yourself with shopping and eating and social media. Don't pour another glass of wine. Don't allow yourself to be paralyzed by fear or crippled by anxiety. People will faint from fear, he says. But when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. How can this be? Melting polar ice caps, rising oceans, out of control wildfires? They're hardly something to celebrate. But according to Jesus, these are signs that the human one is coming with great power. And so we should let these signs galvanize us into action. When I was in primary school, life was terrifying. There was a hole in the ozone layer and it was growing fast. We were all going to be burned up and our children would never be allowed to play outside. At least, that's what we were told. Healing that hole seemed impossible, insoluble, a sign of the end of the world. But people campaigned and scientists worked and nations were lobbied. In 1987, an international decision was made to phase out the chlorofluorocarbons which so damaged the ozone layer. And the hole is now beginning to shrink. By the middle of this century, it's predicted to return to pre-1980 levels. When people read the signs and have the courage to hope and to act, miracles can happen. Apocalypse can be reversed. With climate change, another apocalypse is at hand. And Jesus tells us it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. The waves are rising, the forests are burning, the temperature is going up. We see the signs and we feel the fear. But as followers of Jesus, fear does not dictate our response. Instead, we live by hope and we live by love. We love God's good earth and our children and those who are most affected by climate change, the poor. And we hope that through the power of the Holy Spirit, healing is possible. Of course, climate change is bigger and more complicated than the hole in the ozone layer. There are more factors, but that just means that for people of love and hope, there are more ways to act. None of our actions will fix the global problem by themselves, and very few actions will be exciting, although the school strike for climate is pretty cool. But we do not give up. Instead, we patiently engage in the practices of our faith, noticing, confessing, and changing our destructive ways, studying the scriptures and sharing the sacraments, letting the Creator Spirit inspire us and guide us, working for justice, paying attention to the needs and hopes and observations of children, and allowing all of these practices to put us into right relationship with God's good earth. And we do this always seeking God's culture, the fullness and wholeness and peace which never fully arrives, but which we glimpse now here, now there, in small and powerful acts. And we hold on to our hope. Hope for the radical, impossible change that is necessary. Hope for miracle upon miracle. And hope that when the time comes, we will be found to have been good and faithful caretakers of the earth, and will be able to stand with our heads held high. And we hope always in the one who is the ground of all our hope, the human one, whose coming promises the deep healing of the earth, and with the earth's healing, our own wholeness, our own redemption. Amen. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless you, and God bless the earth beneath your feet. Amen.